The Lord be with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house this day as we gather together again before our Lord and his gifts. In our prayers today, in addition to those that you saw in the grace notes, we pray for Claire, who has surgery tomorrow for breast cancer. A John and Mary, 50 years of wedded bliss, and they've never had a fight. It's amazing. Who are you pointing at? Eric and Diane, what's your number? 38. Also wonderful. a friend of our, guess Maria. This coming Thursday, 43 for Maria Ray. This is good. It's good to see these numbers. A friend of our family. Back home, Michael Berkepile is having surgery on Wednesday. They found a tumor in his larynx, so we pray for him as well today. We continue with our online services, streaming right now live to Facebook. Check with those folks who aren't here and who are able to see it, and let us know what the quality is like. We're getting various reports about cutting out or dropping or pausing and things like that. So it could be the network, it could be something else, but just keep note of that. Council on Wednesday, we're working on getting that set up. Continuing education class is scheduled for July 6 to 10. I don't know yet if it's actually going to happen. We need at least 10. As of yesterday, we had 7 registered. So by this coming Friday, we'll know whether or not that's actually going to happen and if we need some housing for that. Immediately following the service, again, you are invited to come by the parsonage and recognize our graduates, Hannah and Andrew. We're going to put them in the driveway up by the street. You can come by and be as obnoxious as you would like, blowing horns and things like that. Just embarrass them just a little bit. There was a map in the grace notes for that. Again, you know, left out of the parking lot here, go down to the stop sign at Hughes, turn left, go in on Cypress Hill, follow that around to Celesta and up around the hill, and it'll put you right in front of the driveway, and you can do what you will for them as we recognize their accomplishments. And as well, Claire's granddaughter, Sarah, also graduated, and so we give thanks for her as well. Those notes, was there anything else pressing? If not, we're doing pretty good. We're all spreading out. This week, this is the full side, which is good. We're balancing the foundation again after it all being on this side the last couple of weeks. So the service is before you. Let us sing.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In these gray and latter days, as our Lord tarries before his return, you may wonder if Jesus' words are still true. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It doesn't seem that the harvest is plentiful, does it? Interest in the Christian faith and attendance at Christian worship is at an all-time low in much of the Northern Hemisphere, especially here in America. People seem to have better things to do than gather with God's people and receive his gifts. And just look around. Even without pandemic attendance, is our Sunday attendance what it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago? Yes, this fallen world has lost sight of what is important. This broken world has lost sight of who is the very reason for your life. Earthly, as opposed to eternal things, are what are most important for so many. In spite of all of this, though, our Lord knows what his children need, what you need. He sits upon his throne of glory and he sends his Holy Spirit to call men into his harvest. Of course, in St. Matthew's Gospel, our Lord Christ is speaking first of all of the 12 to his closest disciples, to those who would be sent eventually into the wider world to proclaim Christ crucified for the salvation of all mankind. And who are they, these 12? They're fishermen, and they're tax collectors, and they're nobodies. People that no one in the world would necessarily be drawn to. So were they called to follow Jesus because he knew something about them that they didn't? No. Were they called because God the Father knew how great they would become when they were put into just the right situation? No. They were called to follow. And then they were sent because the Holy Spirit would speak through them. There wasn't anything special about these 12. After all, one of them would betray his own Savior to death. Yet, in God's infinite wisdom, Judas Iscariot is chosen to carry the word of Christ to God's people. Strange how that sometimes happens, isn't it? Grace has had her own issues with men of God who didn't live up to the hype or the hope of the office of the ministry, hasn't she? Men with moral failings, men with personality issues, men who just didn't click. attitude problems, bad manners, men broken in the most inconvenient of ways. Yet you called them pastor, shepherd, leader, the one sent by God. No, the men who stand in this holy office aren't always all that they're cracked up to be. No dynamic personality, no glowing charisma, no ability to fill the pews and overflow the offering plates. But that's not what God your Father looks for when He calls a man into the office of the holy ministry, is it? Because in the end, this office isn't about the man. This office is about the needs of Christ's own sheep. Because you are all too aware of your own mortality and the mortality of those you love. Because I see it in the shortness of breath. I see it in the limping forward. The gripping of the ends of the pews, the grimaces of pain. And that's just the visible results of sin. Some diseases aren't so visible. There are the mental wounds, the spiritual bruises, the cancers of the mind and the soul that afflict God's children. All of these diseases and sufferings and afflictions end in death, don't they? So Christ our Lord sends you a shepherd. He gives you a voice that speaks the sweet comfort of His gospel, that reassures you of your salvation, that warns you of the dangers of this world, and leads you to the very waters of salvation and the bread of eternal life. Christ our Lord sends you a shepherd to show you that death has been destroyed already on Christ's cross, that in His death, He has destroyed death for you. But what about your earthly pain and suffering? What about your afflictions? There is an end to those things too. There is an end to sin, the sin that separates, that divides, that causes so much of the grief in our world. And this is what your shepherd proclaims to you, the one our Lord has sent. He is to proclaim to you that Christ Jesus took every one of your sins, the big and the great ones and the dramatic ones, and the little tiny ones that you so easily forget. He has taken all of that sin on Himself. He has gathered them all up like soiled rags and stinking laundry, like broken plates and bleeding bits of flesh, and He carries them on His shoulders to Golgotha. He bore the weight of all of that sin, the stinking bits and the jagged edges and the seeping noxiousness. He bore the full weight of their destruction, and He let that sin kill Him. Your Lord Christ has answered for your sin and for the sin of the people around you and for the sin of your enemies too. It doesn't matter if you brought it on yourself. It doesn't matter if you suffer at the hands of someone else. Jesus has answered for that sin in His death for you. That's what it means to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what it means to say that God's kingdom is here because the crucified and risen Christ is here in His word, in His baptism, in His supper. Here, here, here. Christ is here for you. St. Paul said it in words that are so familiar. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what the sent ones of God are given to do, to comfort you with that truth. Because your Lord Christ sees what this world does to you. He sees how the world and how Satan and how your own sinful flesh harass you and chase you and lie to you and harass you and mislead you. Christ Jesus sees those people that he has compassion on, and their harried and their helpless lives, doomed to death, afflicted in sin, in need of a shepherd. And that's who Jesus goes to. Those are the ones to whom Jesus sends his pastors. Not to the good ones, not to the ones who are certain of their own righteousness, not to the ones who have all of their problems under control and have no need of a Savior. No, Jesus goes to the bruised and to the wounded and to the hurting. Jesus goes to the ungodly, to the ones who can't handle their own problems, to the ones who wonder if anyone even cares, to the ones who've ruined everything, to the ones who've made nothing but bad decisions. And Christ Jesus goes to his enemies too, to those who hate him more than anything else in the world, to those who insist that he die. And he does die. For them and for you. Because as much as you hate to admit it, you need a dead Jesus too. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus says, and the harvest is you. It doesn't matter how many laborers it takes. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how much time it will take to bring in this harvest. There is no price too high for Christ to pay. His own lifeblood wasn't too much for him to give. What matters is that the harvest is plentiful, and that you and that all the faithful are brought home to the place that he's prepared for you. What matters is that you are in his presence with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven for all of eternity. This is the great gift of your Lord and God. This is what grace is, that you have nothing to do with it. Nothing at all to do with your own salvation. And that's why Jesus wandered the cities and the towns of Israel and Samaria, and Galilee. It's why he went into Jerusalem to give his life while bearing your sin. Because the harvest is plentiful. Because you matter to your Lord and God. Because you are important to him, even with all of your mistakes and all of your sins and all of your sickness and all of your death. Your Lord has compassion on you. And he shepherds you through this life, beside the still waters, and into the green pastures, and to the table with the cup that runneth over. Because he wants you at his side forever. In the midst of those multitudes without number, in the city that lives forever, with no pain and no sorrow and no death. For he has brought to life all who are within it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.